Oh, we got all the kids up here? Good. How many guys have been, how many of you have really been in a really, 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 how many have been in a really dark place? Like, woken up in the middle of the night and you can't even see the hand in front of your eyes? You ever had that? Yeah. It was pitch black in the fort? Yeah, it's really dark when you go camping because there's no streetlights. Especially if there's no moon or stars. I remember being out in the woods once on the west coast of Vancouver Island. It's called a rainforest. And out in the rainforest, it was so cloudy. There were no stars out. There were no stars out, no moon, and it was raining really hard, and we put our ponchos over us to keep dry, and then at a certain point around midnight, we had to move out, and I took the poncho off, and I couldn't see my hand in front of my eyes. You know how hard it was to move through a deep forest when you can't see anything? It's hard. Now, when you wake up or something in the middle of the night, and it's dark, and you can't see anything, do you get scared? No? Does anybody ever get scared? Certain places, yeah. Sometimes if... Okay, good. You woke up and you couldn't see anything this morning. That's because you got up too early. Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. You know, there's a problem when half the Sunday school is related to you. Okay, that's enough. Okay. Let me finish the story, okay? Maybe one of these days you can tell the Sunday school story. That would be great. Ever thought what it'd be like if you were blind and you couldn't see anything? You ever thought about that? You know, if you were, let's say, you were blind and you couldn't see anything, and what would happen is you would be feeling, oh, and you'd trip over people, and do you think that would be fun? Do you think that would be fun? No, it wouldn't be fun. If you were blind and you couldn't see anything, you couldn't get around. And you know what else you couldn't do if you were blind? Pardon? You couldn't read, that's right. And what else couldn't you do if you were blind? You couldn't see. You couldn't see colors, could you? You couldn't see things that you might enjoy. We enjoy a lot of things through our eyes, don't we? It's a very valuable organ in our bodies. But if you couldn't see, you wouldn't be able to enjoy them. Now, some people are born blind. I don't know if you ever knew anybody who was born blind, but I've known a few people who are blind, and some were born that way, and some became blind through an accident or a disease, and they couldn't see. And God is very gracious because God gives us compensation when we're blind, because the other senses, like our hearing, becomes much more attuned. And so sometimes we can hear much better as a compensation for not having eyesight. Now, one of the most famous hymn writers in our hymn book, actually, is a lady named Fanny Crosby, who became blind shortly after she was born. So as a little baby, she became blind through an accident. But you know what? She has 16 songs in our hymn book. She was a great hymn writer because the Lord gave her compensation. And so she was able to develop her hearing and her musical ability, and she could write songs. But you know what? I'll bet if she had been given the choice to have her eyesight restored, she would have taken it. You know, even the people who God has given compensation for and have done great things through, they would still like to have the gift of sight. We read about that in the Bible. Not today, though, but we read about that. So, you know, even a little bit of light is better than no light, isn't it? You know, so for example, if you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe your parents put one of these things in the hallway outside your room. Do you know what this is? A night light. Now, did your parents ever put night lights out in the hallway? Yeah, sometimes I do. Yeah. You know what? When my kids come to visit me, even your parents, I put the nightlight out too. We're used to it. But what about maybe a candle? This is a tea light, actually. But sometimes a candle, you know what? If we had a completely dark room here, like completely dark, so we couldn't see the hands in front of our eyes, it was so dark, there was no light in here, you turned on a little tea light like that, a little candle, and it would be visible everywhere. We'd see it. It would light up so much. And so just that little bit of light shines in the darkness. And maybe even if we got a bigger candle, maybe like one of these ones, it would light more. Or if we got, well, here's something that you might want to have if you go out into the woods, right? Okay, there. Ooh. Wouldn't we like one of these? These are really, really handy. Calling helicopters, too, if you get lost. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you light like that, or a flashlight. That's really good, too, for seeing things, right? Or how about a light like this? Wow! Oops. Hope I didn't bring Uncle Rob's light here. There! Wow! Boy, that's blinding. That's a big shiny light, isn't it? Wow. Boy, that is... Rob said they called it a chicken roaster, and I think I understand why. You know what? There is a darkness out there that none of these lights will help with. It's a spiritual darkness. It's a darkness inside us, in our souls. And Jesus said that people loved darkness because their deeds were evil. Now, you know what? How many of us have secrets? You don't have to tell me. Yeah, we have secrets, you know. Sometimes we have good secrets, but sometimes we also have secrets that we just don't want anybody to know about because they're really embarrassing, actually. They're things we've done. We all have them. Whether you're your age or my age or older, we all have these embarrassing little secrets, don't we, that we don't want anybody to know about. And the Bible doesn't compromise on words, and it says they're evil. It's sin, and we don't want them to come out. We love the darkness. We want them hidden sometimes. In fact, a lot of times we want those hidden. But you know what? God doesn't want you to be in darkness, because darkness is the way of death. Darkness is the way of death, and God doesn't want you to be on the way of death. He wants you to be on the way of life. And so at Christmas time, we often hear the story or hear the words of a prophet, Isaiah, and it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Who is that light? Yeah. Well, be more specific. Jesus, that's right. A great light has shone. That was Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Now, if you think of the Christmas story, last week you guys got to present the Christmas story to us. You think of the Christmas story, where do we see light in that story? Hands only. Yeah. The star? The wise men followed a star, didn't they? Okay, where else do we see light? Yeah. What about the angel? The angel gave off light. So when the shepherds were out in the field looking after their flocks, and it was really dark out, and suddenly the angels appeared to them, and it said, "The glory of the Lord shone around them." That's right. So there was light that way. And so we see that in the Christmas story. And so we learn that from the walk in the light of Christ. We're called to walk in the light of Christ, not in the way of death. That's where we hold secrets and things that we don't want anybody to know about, the bad things in our lives. But God calls us to walk in the light of Christ. How do we do that? How do we do that? Yeah. No, we get baptized. That's a good thing to do, but that's not how we learn to walk every day in the light of Christ. Yeah. Read the Bible. Now, there's a Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when I go camping and I get out of my tent in the middle of the night, because sometimes I have to go to visit a little room at the end of the pathway, and it's dark outside, there is a light to my path. I can follow my way. And so the word of God is like that too. It's a light to the spiritual darkness, to get rid of the spiritual darkness in our lives. And so how do we learn what pleases God? How do we learn to follow that path? Is we read the Bible. And so you guys go downstairs, you learn Bible stories every time you go downstairs. Maybe your parents read the Bible to you. Maybe you're old enough to read on your own. But that's very important, because that is how you're going to live real life, is to learn that the Bible is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And so when we celebrate Christmas, when we remember Christmas, it's not just about gifts, and it's not about Santa Claus, and it's not even about Sunday school plays. It's really about remembering that Jesus came to be a light to you and to me, to live our life the way we should. So let's remember that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for each of these precious lives here. Thank you for all the lives that are gathered in this room today. And Lord, we pray that the light of Christ may shine deeply into our hearts and minds, that His salvation would be our life, that Christ would be our life. He would be the light of life for each one of us here. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for these children. We pray that you would bless them as they go downstairs, and bless the teachers as they lead them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, you can go downstairs now for whatever your teachers have got planned for you. Let the thunder die down a little bit here. So last week, in our sort of two-week Christmas special, I guess we call it, George talked about the theme of game changer.
To die in our place, to make us holy, and to make atonement for our sins. And that changed everything. Most important event in world history. And so this week, I want to look at the incarnation as from a slightly different angle. Actually, Jesus, the light of the world, the light in our place. He is the light of the world. Now, that's a popular phrase. We often hear that at Christmas time. Jesus is the light of the world. Right? Christmas cards would say that. And it's a popular phrase. But what does it mean? What does it really mean? Is it just a metaphor? Or does it have some practical implication for us as Christians today? Does it have implications for the world? He is the light of not just Christians, He is the light of the world. So, what does it mean? What are the implications, the practical implications for us? Well, we need to start at the beginning. And if we want to understand the light, we really need to understand the nature of darkness. I'm getting stuck up there. We're really in the suit here today. So let's turn our mind to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're right back to the beginning of everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void is that empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Darkness is not a thing in itself. It's the absence of something, the absence of light. And in the beginning, there was no light. There was no life. There was no light. There was no light. And God introduced light into darkness. And verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light. and there was light. Light. Let there be light, and there was light. And not just in a physical sense, not just in the physical, astrophysical, day and night sense of light, but also in a spiritual sense, because God Himself was now actively involved in His creation. And that's why let there be light is the first act of creation. God is now actively involved in His creation. And especially so with the creation of mankind. If we jump down to verse 27. It says, God created man in His own image. Male and female, He created them.
Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. God had to become real man to die a real death so that He could really take on the punishment of our sin as a man. Therefore, He was conceived in the womb of a woman, Mary, and born the same way that you and I were. He wasn't conceived in the same way. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But He was born in the same way. He grew in His mother's womb, just like we did. And He was born just like us. And so God taking on flesh, the incarnation, God becoming a baby. That's what we talk about at Christmas. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We think about that. But
It's so profound, and it's so counterintuitive. It's so only God can do thing. It's only about God. But you know what? It demonstrates to us how much God cared about His image in us. That's how much God cared about us, because we bear His image. So about 400 years after Isaiah, the gospel writer Matthew, he identified Jesus as the one who would fulfilled it, the Isaiah 9 prophecies. In fact, Jesus declared it himself. Again, as I told the children a few moments ago in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is quite bold there. I am the light of the world. So what does it mean to follow Jesus and to have the light of life in us? Well, right after Matthew had identified Jesus as fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy about being the light shining in darkness, he quotes Jesus as preaching this. He's quoting Jesus here in Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So coming into the light of God, having the light of life, is really about salvation. It's all about salvation. It's coming to Christ. It's being born again. It's the gospel. It's the good news. Jesus came preaching repentance. He preached the gospel, the good news. He was the gospel. He is the gospel. It starts with repentance, recognizing that we are in the land of darkness, that we are darkness itself. Recognize that. And recognizing that we can't find the way out. We can't find light within ourselves. It's very popular to say, look, find the light within yourselves. You can't do it. We can't do it. Only Christ can do it. And if we haven't accepted Him as Savior, He doesn't live here. He's trying to come in. So we need a Savior, and we need complete transformation. Being born again. Being born again. Changing our mind about sin. Changing our mind about life itself. Complete transformation. We need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. He is the light of life. He's the light of the world. Now, the only alternative to the light of Christ is utter darkness. Jesus, on several occasions, described eternity without God as they will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not saying this. This is what Jesus said. That's the alternative. That is the blunt alternative to an eternity without God. So Christ is not only the better way, the more enlightened way, if you want, He's the essential way. He is absolutely essential, both to avoid eternal darkness, but also to live the light of life today, to live the life that we've been given here right now. That's why, if we go back to John 8:12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. In other words, we walk in light. We live in light. That's what it means to walk, is to live. We'll have the light of life living right now. Apostle Paul contrasted these two ways of living in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting at verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I'm just skipping ahead to verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, we were back at the beginning, this is the same God, that power, the creative power, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Turning from darkness to Christ, that's a whole act of repentance, accepting him as Savior, allowing him to transform us, transform our not just our eternal destiny, but transforming how we see light, how we understand light, and in how we live life. Living it right now. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the light of life that Christ came to proclaim and to implement, to give to us. So, what about practical application? So, living the light of Christ in us right now. Paul said to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 5 of Ephesians, starting at verse 8, for you were once darkness. Not just living in the land of darkness, but we were darkness. We were darkened in our souls. And I can certainly testify to that in my own life. Living in ignorance and darkness. You were once darkness. We were spiritually blind. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. See, the Father's given us the light of the knowledge of his glory. The light of real life. That's what he's given us. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's a transforming light. And he calls us to live as children of light. He calls us to bear fruit of that light in our lives. Fruit that reflects his glory. How do we do that? How do we find what pleases the Lord? Well, again, I'll go back to the children's message. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word is, his light is encapsulated in his word. His light is encapsulated in his word. The Bible is not just words on paper. It is not just the thoughts of philosophers about God, about eternity. It is God's revelation of himself to us. It is the light to our path. So the walk of faith, which we're called to walk, to live, the true walk of life. This is the walk of life. This is the true life that we were designed to live. It's not just doable, but it's ultimately glorious. It's not necessarily easy. In fact, it won't be easy because it's a battle. But it's a glorious walk. It is the only essential walk that is really livable. Everything else will end up in the ditch or worse. So let's not despise the light that God has given us. Let's not despise what he's given us by putting it on the shelf. We enter into 2019. This wasn't meant to be a New Year's message, but thinking we enter into 2019. It's just a mark in the calendar. But why not take that mark and say, yeah, this year I'm going to renew my commitment to reading God's light that he's given us. Do you have a plan? Whether it's to read the Bible through in a year, or whether it's to be consistent every day, or how I teach my children, or what I do with it, sharing it with others. Do we have a plan? This is God's light to us. Not in a legalistic sense, but in the sense of discovering the light of life. What a great New Year's resolution. And more than that, what a great way to live life is to take what God has told us, and live it out. The word is active and living, is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating, dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's true if we approach the word of God as the light of life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Where do we start to thank you? Just to say thank you, to be grateful, to be content with what you have given to us, to be content with your revelation, to be content with your presence with us, to be content knowing that you have already prepared a place for us, that we are already seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And yet here in this life, Lord, you call us to be your servants, to be your ambassadors, to be the light bearers, to reflect the glory, your glory, the knowledge of you in the face of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And more than that, to each other, to encourage one another, to love one another, to live the life that Christ calls us to. Lord, this is real life, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you've given us that. And it's not that we are any better, more special than anyone else. Our specialty comes from the fact that we bear your image. And even though it's been marred by sin, Lord, you have provided the way to come back to the light. So Lord, help us to live that out. And whether if we have not come to that place of surrender, that place of accepting the light of Christ as Savior, Lord, may we not leave here today without having done so. And may we not leave here today without a renewed commitment to taking that light into our lives and letting it shine through into the world that we live in, because it is so desperately needed. Lord, thank you. We praise you now. We love you, and we just want to give you renewed thanks in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ.